Welcome to the Musers segment about music for Make Benefit Glorious Cumulus Radio Empire. Since we euthanized bands of your life, and since we're still waiting for concerts to resume to have a normal concert calendar, decided to change things up this spring. We're going to take turns hosting this new musical segment, and it's brought to us by Globe Life, who's your beneficiary. They've got a site specifically for P1s, globelifep1.com. And hosting Musical Musers this week is the great Gordo.
You bet. Thank you, Junior. I had so many ideas that I wanted to cover in this Musers musical segment because there's so many aspects to music that fascinate me, and I plan on doing some of these ideas at a later time. Some of the ideas I had was, why does music affect us so much? How does a piece of music get inside our brains, bypass our rational side, and go straight to our feels? How is that possible that a combination of sounds can create an emotional state within us without any lyrics whatsoever?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible? Also, learning an instrument, how it's never too late, and what you should do if you want to learn an instrument. I've had so many people approach me about, what guitar should I get, or what do you recommend, this or that, and I want to cover that at a later segment too. But I'm going to start with history. I would say April 6th is a significant day in the history of music. And I'm going to cover a few of the things, big things that happened on this day. In 1965, on April 6th, the Beach Boys went into a recording studio in Hollywood to start on a new song. And they recorded 44 takes of the backing track of this song until Brian Wilson, who was the genius behind the Beach Boys, was satisfied with their progress. And that song, recognize it?
Oh, yeah.
In some ways, probably the most identifiable Beach Boys song of all time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If not Surfing USA, the whole surfing thing, but yeah.
California Girls. This was the day they started recording this song. Mm. 44 takes of the backing track of this.
Wow.
Yeah, working with Brian Wilson doesn't sound like it'd be all that fun.
No.
He was very exacting.
I always liked that song as a kid.
Kind of a nut.
What is the normal amount of takes for a band when they're doing a song?
You know, now it's very different than it used to be.
It's very tracked now. It's not as if you all start and just play the song together anymore.
Yeah. In the old days, they used to do, bands would record at the same time, and they would all play at the same time, and you'd usually just take a live performance of the band in the studio. And then they started realizing, well, with the prospect of studio recording and multi-track recording, we can all kind of record our parts at different times. We'll go back in and redo the guitar part. We'll redo the bass part. And so they recorded at different times. Now, the idea is that so much of it is just put to a grid now. A lot of it's done in the computer.
Yep.
And so you don't really have the human element of someone playing drums quite like they used to.
You don't have to have somebody there at the studio. Just send in your part and EQ it there and put it in. You know, they just play to a click track in the same speed.
Music production has changed so much during our lifetime.
Was that click track, that drum track, invented by the Bee Gees? Did we learn that in that documentary?
Did they invent the click track?
Just that tracking. They were the first ones to kind of loop
a drum track.
Yeah, maybe so, a drum track. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. One of the bands that got the most out of the limited equipment of their day, I think, was this next band. Because you have to remember, in those days, I think they only had 4 tracks.
I think you're right.
So, like now, when you have a computer at your home and you're a young musician, you have infinite tracks. You can record as many tracks as you want. And we have this non-linear editing, which means you can just take a piece of the song and move it to a different part of the song.
Mm-hmm.
So you can arrange it right there on the timeline on your laptop. Back in the day, they recorded onto actual physical tape, and there were only 4 different tracks that you had to choose from. that you could utilize. And so oftentimes you would have to bounce, what's called bouncing one track to another, which means you take one audio signal from one of those tracks, record it to another one of those tracks while adding another instrument to it. So you could get more tracks effectively that way, but it degraded the sound from the original track over and over again. So you couldn't do that too many times. And one of the engineers who was best at managing the limitations of the studios back then was a guy named George Martin, who worked at Abbey Road Studios in England. And on this date, April 6th of 1966, the Beatles went into the studio to record their first session of what would become the Revolver album.
Love that album.
Which is considered, I think, it seems like Revolver and Rubber Soul are probably the two most beloved Beatle albums.
I love Rubber Soul too, yeah.
A lot of times people will say Abbey Road is the greatest Beatle album, or Sgt. Pepper, the greatest Beatle album. But as far as beloved, Rubber Soul and Revolver. And on this date, when they first sat down to record for Revolver, do you know what song was number one on the chronological list of recording? It's interesting to me that the song that they first started recording was in a lot of ways the most technologically complex of the songs from that album in using these studio techniques that I was telling you about, and that is this song.
About to ask if it was a George song.
No, it's a John song.
It's a John song?
Yeah, Tomorrow Never Knows. See, you hear all that sound in the background?
Yeah.
That was them taking the physical tape and reversing it.
Yeah.
To make those crazy sounds in the background. But this was the very first thing they recorded on this date in 1966. The Beatles.
I always liked that song.
Do you?
It's a cool sound.
I love this song too.
Yeah.
This drum line is one of my favorites of Ringo's. Love that drum beat. In 1968, on this date, this song went to number one. Actually, this band went to number one with the album, which was a soundtrack of a movie called The Graduate.
I think this is great Paul Simon music here.
Yeah, this is a great song.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
You know, and this is still one of the pleasures that I've reserved for myself in life is that I think once I get into Simon and Garfunkel, I think I will fully appreciate the genius of Paul Simon. I don't know much about Simon and Garfunkel. And here's to you, Mrs. Robinson. But I've heard some stuff that Paul Simon has written during his time with Art Garfunkel.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just amazed at the lyrical content of it.
Yeah.
So I think he's a genius, but I don't know much about his genius yet. And I'm going to enjoy going on that journey.
Again, better than anything on that Graceland.
Okay.
The song.
I don't know why you guys underrate Graceland. On this date in 1974, a famous band from Sweden won the Eurovision Song Contest for the song Waterloo. And this is what set the world on fire for ABBA. Is the song
world?
Is them winning that contest and all that. And I'm going to spare you the song though, Giorgio.
Okay.
On this date in 1998, Wendy O. Williams, former singer of the Plasmatics, died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound, George.
I don't think I knew that's how she died.
Yeah, I didn't either. But it happened on this date.
Mm.
And in 1998, the First Lady of Country Music passed away. Who's the First Lady of Country Music?
I thought it was Dolly Parton.
No.
Or Loretta Lynn. But they're both still with us.
She sold over 30 million records, married five times, once filed for bankruptcy. known as the First Lady of Country Music, Tammy Wynette.
Oh, yeah.
Died on this date in 1998. Same day as Wendy O. Williams.
That's right. They did a big, long segment on her in that Ken Burns documentary on country music. You have
bad times. Was she ever married to George Jones or something?
Yeah, I believe so. Twice, right?
Off.
I think they got married twice or somehow got back together.
And then on this date, in 1937, a man was born who changed country music. And on this date in 2016, that same man died on his birthday.
Waylon?
No. Great Merle Haggard, born and dead on this date. The youngin's dream of
growing up. We've forgotten that.
This is a big date in music history.
Yes. Town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind, but Mama tried. Boy, my house was a big Merle Haggard house.
He was great.
My brother, my dad loved it. And then finally, another thing that makes this date great in musical history. In 1988, a famous song was released. A song that means a lot to the Musers.
On this date?
On this
seriously
day,
just talking about
in 1988,
God.
Tracy Chapman releases Fast Car.
Such a beating.
Boy, there are so many people who think this song is one of the greatest songs of the last 50 years.
I heard it from a few of them who just ripped me.
Why?
For thinking this was a beating
song. Why did they love this?
Just the lyrically, I think it's poetic beauty, and they think her structure of it's really nice. And I heard it too.
She's forcing too many words in here, but okay. Black Pumas covered this pretty good.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear that.
See, this song sounds looped to me.
Yeah.
Same riff over and over again. But I told you it's a historical musical day.
Well, I guess so.
No kidding.
And now, next in the corner, I do have it. It is musically related, what I'm going to show you in the corner. Junior, it will answer a big question of yours, and it will show you the future of music. That's next.